The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
There we go. So welcome. So this evening I'll introduce a topic. I'll just speak just for a few minutes. And then we'll do mindfulness of breathing as a way to help get settled and to introduce an alternative practice if, for whatever reason, loving-kindness practice feels overwhelming or doesn't feel like the right thing to be doing right now. And plus, you know, a little bit of mindfulness is supportive for our whole life and for loving-kindness practice as well. And then we'll do some loving-kindness, and I'll guide us in some loving-kindness meditation. And then have the opportunity to interact with each other and to discuss a topic and or share some about your experience. And for some people, that last part about the interactive part is really meaningful. You might think initially, like, I don't know, these are people, some of them, I don't know who they are. Am I really going to do this? But you'll discover a lot of beautiful, kind, warm-hearted people are here as a practice of happy hour. It's quite something, actually. And it can be a great way to support our practice. Okay. So one thing I wanted to talk about a little bit this evening is that with loving kindness practice, we're asked to have loving kindness for all beings. Often when I'm teaching it, I'm focusing on lovable beings and the self. But those of you who are familiar with metta, loving kindness practice, classically, it expands in bigger and bigger and bigger, bigger spheres to include all beings. But it really starts with where it's easiest, and then kind of fan the flames of that warm-heartedness until it can grow and grow. So with loving-kindness practice, we're asked to have loving-kindness for all beings, including ourselves. And I've noticed that sometimes it's that last bit, including ourselves, we're our being also, that sometimes it's a little bit, maybe isn't as easy, or sometimes feels maybe not as smooth. And maybe sometimes we have this idea, well, I love these certain aspects of myself, but not these aspects. Or I love myself sometimes, but not all the time. And that's part of the reason why we do this practice, is to help kind of fold in all aspects of ourselves all the times, with a recognition that we do have, I don't know, can I use this word, imperfections? We do have habits of mind, habits of behavior that maybe are not so helpful for us or helpful for other people. But what would it be like if you could love yourself fully, including all these imperfections? What would it be like? You might fear that, oh, wait, if I love this anger that I often have, then I'll turn into an angry person. Or if I love this laziness that I sometimes have, then I'll just turn into a lazier person. Or if I love my addictions, my anxieties, my difficulties with my partner, whatever it might be, we might have this fear that we'll just become more angry, more lazy, more addicted, more whatever it is, if we were to allow these aspects of ourselves, if we were to love these aspects of ourselves. Somehow it's not uncommon to have this idea that stoking, fueling, feeding, supporting the inner critic is the best way. That somehow promoting the inner critic is the way forward, as opposed to loving ourselves, loving all aspects of ourselves. This inner critic is a little bit like a, whoops, my notes. Let's see here. But inner critic is a little bit like, sometimes it can feel a little bit like a sub-personality. Like there's this one part of ourselves, one aspect of ourselves that's constantly putting us down, belittling us. It's this voice of negativity or judgment or self-blaming or something like this. It's kind of, and it can feel like this has a tone of harshness, and it can feel oppressive and constrictive and heavy. So my invitation is to do an experiment and just see, what is it like? What might it be like to have more love, more care, more respect, more warmth, more goodwill for yourself? All aspects of yourself. And I'd venture to say that if you do this experiment, what will happen is the opposite of our becoming more lazy, more angry, or whatever it is that we feel are the things that shouldn't be loved, what aspects of ourselves shouldn't be loved. As we care for and extend warm-heartedness and love and accept ourselves in a bigger, wiser way, in a way that's more inclusive and unconditional, we discover that our fear, our neediness, maybe our aggression, maybe our inertia, these things that are underneath the inner critic, that are or somehow tangled up with the inner critic, those things really diminish and they lose their power, lose their hold on us. They're habits, so there is some momentum to having them there, but their authority or their effect on us really diminish until they get smaller and smaller and smaller, until maybe we can recognize, like, oh yeah, here's anger. And not say angry things, not do things out of anger. Maybe there's a little bit of a inner twinge or twitch or something that feels like anger, but it doesn't lead to all the other things that anger we might have habitually led to in the past. So my invitation is to try it as an experiment and see, what is it like just to imagine that you are able to love yourself. Imagine that you are able to treat yourself with warmth and care, with all these human flaws, quote unquote, imperfections, quote unquote. It's part of the human experience, right? That some aspects of ourselves are a little bit more mature than other parts, or a little more skillful, or some of the ways that we behave is a little more wholesome or helpful. In some ways, our task in this life is to see all aspects of ourselves clearly and to love ourselves anyway. So not to love ourselves as a way as putting a cover over our experience or our behavior, or to condone everything we do, or to behave in a way that feels Pollyanna-ish or delusional, but to see ourselves clearly and to love ourselves anyway. And then with this accepting presence, we'll see that we start making different decisions. We'll start to see that our life unfolds differently, because we're motivated or moved not out of fear or not out of hatred or not out of shame, or but instead our decision making, our impetus, or the what's kind of supports or drives our decisions, is care and warm-heartedness. Okay, so with that as an introduction, let's take a seated upright posture, a posture that expresses both your intention to meditate and your intention to be warm-hearted, to have some softness and some care. It's not always obvious, you know, which posture is the best. Maybe what worked yesterday isn't working quite as well today. But it's worthwhile to spend a little bit of time to find a posture that's supportive. Then we can begin with three long, slow, deep breaths. Just as a way to connect with the body, connect with the breath. And with the exhale, seeing if there can be some softening or letting go. It can be a tremendous support to do a light body scan, just to check in with different areas of the body to bring the opportunity in which there might be a little bit less tension or tightness. It can be helpful to check in with the face, and the eyes and the jaw. Not that anything in particular needs to happen or that we have to do anything, but sometimes just bringing our awareness, our warm-hearted awareness to these different areas of the body allows something different to happen. Something other than just increased tension. And then bringing our attention to our shoulders, having them be away from the ears. And the shoulder blades slide down the back. Upper back and lower back, and the chest, and seeing if there might be a way in which a teeny tiny little opening of the chest, maybe it's not noticeable to anybody, just this gesture of having a little bit more space around the heart, maybe it's only figurative. In the belly, I often have tightness in the belly. And feeling the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body, feeling grounded, connected. The upper legs, the lower legs, the feet. The upper arms, lower arms, and the hands. You might notice what the hands are touching. Feel the softness or maybe the roughness or the warmth or coolness of what they're touching. And then bring your attention to the interior experience of the hands, the experience of having hands that is maybe throbbing or pulsing, tingling. Maybe a bit of pressure, warmth, whatever it might be. Now maybe to bring the awareness, stretch it out to the whole body. To the experience of sitting here. And maybe feeling that this body is breathing. Just feeling the movement of the chest or the abdomen with the breath, or maybe feeling the air going in and out of the nose. Nothing in particular needs to be happening. I'm just tuning into the sensations of breathing. If you find yourself lost in thought, it doesn't have to be a problem. Very simply, gently begin again with the sensations of breathing. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bring to mind somebody or some being for whom it's easy to feel warm-heartedness, love, care, respect, goodwill. You may or may not have a relationship, a personal relationship with this being. They may be kittens, puppies, babies, so maybe imaginary beings, or perhaps someone you actually know. Choose someone for whom the relationship is uncomplicated, straightforward, and for whom you have this, naturally have this warm-hearted feeling. And then to support our intention of cultivating, developing loving kindness, going to build on this feeling of warmth. I'm using that word. You might use a different word that we have towards the lovable being. And support it and maybe allow it to grow. And we can do that by repeating these phrases while having the lovable being in mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You might want to check in with the body and see if there's any feeling of spaciousness or warmth or openness. And if so, allow that experience to support you in your cultivation of loving kindness. Allow that experience to get as big as it would like. And if you don't feel anything in particular, that's perfectly fine. Now, what would it be like to imagine that this lovable being loves you? In the same way, this warm-heartedness that you've been cultivating, this openness, care that you've been developing for the lovable being, what if you imagine that they're sending it right back to you? They love you. They are wishing that you are safe, happy, healthy, and living with ease. Can you imagine that? Even if you were working with a kitten, puppy, baby, there's a way in which they can be loving. What would it be like to feel tremendous love from lovable being? What would it be like to drink that up? Allow it to support us, nurture us, nourish us. To drink up this experience of being loved. And now we can do loving kindness practice for ourselves. Perhaps having primed the prompt or in some way acknowledged that others love us. We're just joining the gang in this way in terms of loving ourselves. So just as we did with the lovable being, can bring to mind a felt sense of yourself or maybe a mental image of yourself. And we can use these phrases. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. If you find that the loving kindness for yourself is waxing or getting a little diffuse, maybe you could dip into, so to speak, the loving kindness that you felt for the lovable being or that you imagined they were feeling for you. Bring to mind that experience and use that to support and loving kindness for yourself. And the last little bit of this meditation, can feel into what would be a kind-hearted way to meditate now for yourself. Maybe continue with loving kindness for yourself. Maybe mindfulness of the breath. Maybe doing loving kindness for a lovable being. Can do whatever practice feels the right practice for you right now. And then to end this meditation, feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So at the beginning of our time together, I talked a little bit about maybe imagining or running the experiment. What would it be like to love yourself, love all aspects of yourself all the time? Can you imagine a life like that? And maybe the word love isn't quite the right word for you. Maybe there's treating care about or treat with respect, or I like the expression warm-hearted just because it's kind of vague enough that it incorporates a number of different ideas or experiences, kind of a diffuse way. But maybe that doesn't quite work for you. Maybe there's something that feels a little more resonant. But the invitation is to run the experiment as best you can, as best you can. What would it be like to have warm-heartedness, to have care, respect, love, goodwill for yourself all the time? And this is not an exercise in self-criticism, or this is not an opportunity for the inner critic to really take over and say, well, I can't because of X, Y, Z, or if you set the intention that you want to try this experiment and then you find that it's difficult, then to beat yourself up. But that's not the direction we're going. So whatever you do, please don't take this as a further support for the inner critic to have fuel or to somehow berate ourselves or belittle ourselves. So it can be a tremendous support and fun to talk about these types of ideas with others. It's supportive sometimes for us to hear ourselves say out loud and to articulate ideas that perhaps we aren't fully formed until we speak them out loud, as well as it's a beautiful gift to offer others to do some deep listening. To not interrupt, to not be offering advice, but just to hear, to witness what somebody's experience is or the way that they're processing it. So with that, I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms. And we won't be there for very long, but just as an opportunity to talk about maybe this invitation to what might it be like to love yourself, to have warm-heartedness towards yourself. So we will have maybe just 12 minutes. Maybe I'll make it 11 minutes. It's kind of funny to be so surprised, Zoom allows me to do that. And you'll be in groups of three or four, mostly three here. Okay, so have fun. We don't have a lot of time, but would somebody like to share what was that like to talk about this idea of loving oneself or even just that practice of being in a small group talking about these types of things?
Well, it's always nice for me to do the breakout groups, and now I feel like I have some friends in this group, even though everybody's so far apart. But times I've been in groups with Trudy several times, and I feel like I'm getting to know her, and yeah, seeing Glenn. So that's really nice for me. My online buddies.
Right. It's quite something how this technology allows us to have these connections, and just these brief few minutes we can feel a connection with people. It's quite something.
Yeah. And I so appreciate you doing these. I'm hoping yes. They can continue, but it must be a real effort for you to.
I'll say this, that Nikki and I were initially thinking like, okay, we'll do it till the end of May. And then we were like, okay, now we'll do it till the end of June. We don't want to give it up. There's something very sweet about this.
Lisa's doing this. Pleased to hear that.
Yeah.
It's so sweet and tender and a beautiful thing to be doing. It's really great. So
thank you.
We're taking it 1 month at a time, and kind of like instead of saying we're going to do this forever. But so that's the current plan now, is again through the month of June, 6 days a week. Saturdays is in the morning.
That's great.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you to Lisa and Hannah. I really appreciated those great time. And of course, I get the alerts on my phones, happy hour, every day I get it, and I'm not here all the time, but you just get that sense that this will be here all the time, like every month. So it's good to hear that it might not possibly be that way. So take advantage of it, because this is very... so valuable. I love this Zoom process. So
great. Thank you, Trevor. Yeah. We might not be, we have been doing happy hour. We were just doing it once a week on Wednesdays when we were in person, and we had been doing that for years. So I don't know how this is going to unfold, but thank you, Trevor. Okay, it's 7:01, so I want to respect your time, and what a delight it is to see you all, and I wish you a wonderful evening. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Maybe I'll unmute us all. Are you guys ready? So it'll be a little bit loud, but just a way to say goodbye. So bye, and thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Diana.
Thank you guys.
It's nice to do that sometimes.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Diana. And hi, Trudy.
Hi.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.